Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
We've talked recently about the police pulling people over because, like, say, their license plate light doesn't work, or one of their taillights is burned out, and so on. And it often leads them to other things. Police search the car, they find something, somebody gets arrested, and it all goes back to, well, why'd you pull the person over in the first place? And they go, oh, taillight was burned out, or the license plate light wasn't working. And I did a video recently about license plate lights, and a police officer said, well, I thought they weren't working, and they were. And a court said, no, it's too much of a pretext. You got to have a better reason to pull somebody over. So this story is from autoblog.com. The Associated Press also ran it. John sent it to me. Thanks a lot. Taillights mostly working? Good enough, court says, ruling against a traffic stop. So a man was pulled over because a taillight on his car was, in fact, burned out. No question. And he got ticketed for it. Fought this all the way to the New Mexico Supreme Court. And there they said they don't have to work perfectly as long as they work. So New Mexico's Supreme Court has ruled that state law does not require vehicle taillights to be working perfectly, only that they work well enough for their intended use. The ruling Monday by the state Supreme Court comes from a man being issued a traffic ticket for violating a state law requiring certain vehicle equipment to be in good working order. Good working order. Now, the lower courts had said that good working order meant that the vehicle was free from flaws or defects. But this court says that that would impose an absurd standard for vehicles on New Mexico roads and highways because it would require that equipment be in perfect condition beyond a more reasonable expectation that equipment functions for its intended use. That's the justice writing the opinion of the court. This case began when a county sheriff's deputy pulled a man over because one bulb in the taillight lamp did not work, despite the fact that all the other bulbs in the lamp were illuminated. The deputy cited him both for the tail lamp and for driving under the influence. You were waiting for that, weren't you? Okay? No one's going to fight a equipment ticket to the Supreme Court of a state otherwise. So he was then convicted of the operating under the influence. Lower courts had ruled against his arguments that the deputy had no reasonable suspicion to pull him over because the taillight met the law's requirement that it be visible from a distance of 500 feet. But the lower court said, well, no, it doesn't matter because there was a burned out bulb and that bulb's not in good working order, right? And so the court's saying, no, but the taillight still worked. The brake light still worked. Apparently everything still worked. It just didn't work as well because one of the bulbs was burned out. So it seems like a fine distinction. But the real point here is like getting back to the license plate light not working, okay? It was illuminated enough to be seen, but the police officer said, well, it wasn't illuminated as much as I would like. Could you see it? Because it turns out that's the purpose of the light, is to make sure that you can see it at night. And so if this guy's taillights work properly, like the turn signals worked, the brake lights worked, so on and so forth, then this is okay. So I went and pulled the opinion because the article is kind of short. And the opinion begins by saying, this case reminds us that not all vehicles on New Mexico's roads and highways are in perfect condition. You're preaching to the choir, my friends. That's true all across America. Specifically, this case asks whether a tail lamp with multiple bulbs violates the code when one bulb in a tail lamp is not illuminated, but the tail lamp otherwise complies with the motor vehicle code. The Court of Appeals majority held that such a tail lamp does violate Section 663901, reasoning that if each bulb in a tail lamp is not fully operational, then the tail lamp is not in good working order. And instead, we hold, this is the Supreme Court writing, that tail lamps do not violate that section when the lamps comply with the specific statutory equipment requirements set out in the statute. And they say, in reaching our conclusion, we examine the plain language. And people often get hung up on this. And I've had people tell me, they say, Steve, I read the statute and I think it means this. My friends read it and they think it means this. And I found a website where a guy says he thinks it means this. And there's so many different ways to interpret this. How do you interpret a statute? And statutory interpretation, or statutory construction as it's often called, talks about how you determine what something means. And one of the first things you're supposed to do when you read a statute, You don't start looking for weird legal twists or surprises or convoluted arguments. The first thing you do is you read the plain language. You read the plain language, and the language is plain. That's it. You don't need to get into in-depth analysis and start going, well, what was the intent of the drafters? Well, if it's plain language, that's the intent. So I'm not going to get into this right now. What's funny is the attorneys in my audience all agree with me. It's the non-attorneys who are going to argue with that last statement. But in reaching our conclusion, we examine the plain language, including the meaning of good working order, and consider that in light of the Motor Vehicle Code's purpose to promote public safety before applying the general or specific law of statutory construction to interpret the section as it relates to other specific statutory requirements for motor vehicle equipment. And again, they go through the story about how Sheriff's deputy stopped the man in April of 2012. Yes. This happened 9 years ago. On the basis that the defendant's tail lamp was defective, he testified, that is the deputy, at the time of the stop, defendant's right tail lamp was working properly, but the large upper bulb in the left tail lamp was not illuminated, and he charged defendant with operating a vehicle with defective equipment and driving under the influence first offense. Defendant was convicted on both charges, and on appeal, both district court and the court of appeals affirmed the convictions. At each level of these proceedings, defendants argued that the deputy did not have reasonable suspicion to stop him because the facts and circumstances of the case do not support a conclusion that he's breaking the law or had broken the law at the time he was stopped because of the issue with one light being out but everything else working properly. The courts went back and forth about whether or not the police officer had good reason to pull this guy over. But it basically boils down to whether or not this car and its component parts are in good working order. And those are the three words they keep putting in quotes. Good working order, good working order. And so they talk about how you can simply look at a dictionary. Say working order is defined as a condition of a machine in which it functions according to its nature and purpose. Functions according to its nature and purpose. So the real purpose of this law is not to say you've got a bunch of bulbs in the back of your car and they all must be in good working order. The function of those lights is to illuminate when certain things happen or under certain conditions. And if those things light and do their job, they're in good working order. So presumably the light that burned out did not affect, for instance, the turn signal. It must not have affected the brakes. I'm not sure which light it is. I'm not even sure what type of car it was. But the point is that they say specifically that this light on some level was redundant, meaning that there was another light doing the exact same job. And so as the purpose of the law is simply to say that the vehicle's got to have all these different things on it that are in good working order, it is in good working order if it still works. So going back to 2012 when the man is arrested and presumably he's put on trial shortly thereafter, here we are 9 years later, the New Mexico Supreme Court saying, well, no, that's actually wrong. With no reason to pull the man over, then the underlying stop's got to go out the window as well. So that case has now been dismissed by the New Mexico Supreme Court. And this is only the law in New Mexico. People ask me this all the time. They say, Steve, I'm in Wisconsin. I have an identical case here. Can I point to this and say, in my case, Your Honor, look what happened in New Mexico? You can point to it. You can say, I think that's persuasive argument. Take a look at it. But it's not binding on them. In New Mexico, it's binding on them. So if you're in New Mexico, pay close attention to this. If you're in other states, keep it in the back of your mind. And that is often the case, that attorneys are in court. And I've done that before, too. There's sections of the Uniform Commercial Code that have not been interpreted or dealt with yet by the Michigan Courts of Appeal. It just so happens there are some subsections of the UCC that are not. So if you find a section of the UCC you're fighting over with your opponent, and there's no case law on it in Michigan, you can bet there's case law on it somewhere, almost always. And I've had it happen before where I went to the UCC reporters, and that's people who gather up all the cases that address the UCC and then create indexes of where you can find, you want to find somebody who discusses, you know, section 2608. Here's all the cases that address it across America, different courts. And so I've actually had it happen before where I found a section of the law fighting about with my opponent, and there was nothing on it in Michigan. And I find like 12 cases that go my way. And unfortunately, there's 10 cases that go his way. And there's no cases in Michigan. And then you got to stand in front of the court and say, Your Honor, I found these 12 cases that go my way. And this is why I think they are right, and explain why I think they're right. The judge goes, isn't it true that guy's got 10 that go his way? Yeah, Your Honor, but they're all wrong. Let me explain to you why, and I explain why they're all wrong. I sit down, my opponent stands up, goes, Your Honor, I got 10 cases that go my way. Judge goes, isn't it true he's got 12 that go his way? Yeah, he does. Let me explain to you why they're all wrong. And then at that point, it does boil down to a policy decision. The judge has got to look at it and either say, what, you know, is there any indication that the legislature in Michigan ever wanted to go one way or the other? Or is there a purpose behind the statute that we're trying to affect with our rulings here? Or do I literally just flip a coin and pick a winner? Because that might be what it boils down to. So it's interesting. But in New Mexico right now, in New Mexico, this is recent, taillights mostly working. Good enough, court says, ruling against a traffic stop from autoblog.com and the Associated Press. John Sennett, thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Yes, I'm a material girl. Check out my fabric collection.